Hello, everyone. This is Derek Van Dam, and welcome to another edition of Make a Difference Radio. Our show airs every Wednesday at 10 a.m., and each week we spotlight a different nonprofit organization and the people and businesses that support them. We're trying to create an awareness of their cause and assist them in spreading their message, as well as show the community ways they can get involved with helping them. We will also be placing a strong emphasis on corporate responsibility because, given the continued state of the economy, it's now more important than ever that businesses do their part to help these great organizations. The show is brought to you today by Swipe for Change, whose mission is to create consistent and recurring donation streams for nonprofit organizations by leveraging business merchant accounts at no additional cost to the business. Please visit swipeforchange.com or call 1-800-219-5727 for more details. We have a very special show for you today. Our topic is about the Wounded Warrior Project and serving our heroes. Something very close to a lot of people's hearts, considering that we've been in military engagements for the better part of greater than the last decade. And we are very fortunate to have two people on the show today that were both members that had received help from Wounded Warriors as veterans, and then in turn are now representing the organization. So I am very proud to announce that we have Andrew Coughlin and Joe Cayley on the show today. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you.
Right.
Good morning. Thank you.
Well, I wanted to let's tell a little bit about the what we're going to be covering today. Wounded Warrior Project is an organization that exists to honor and empower returning veterans who have incurred service connected wounds, injuries, illnesses, things of that nature. Though uniquely tailored programs aimed at nurturing mind, body, and fostering the most successful, well-adjusted generation of wounded service members in this nation's history, the Wounded Warrior Project is making a difference in the lives of thousands of our returning soldiers. And what I would love to chat with both of you gentlemen about today is your experiences, some motivations of what it was that you decided to join the military, what happened to you during your time of service, and obviously what happened thereafter with your involvement with the Wounded Warrior Project. Andrew, let's start with you today. Can you give us a little bit of background?
Yeah, sure. So I was a senior in high school on September 11th, 2001, and I remember I was in a criminal justice college class while I was in high school, I just remember walking out into the lobby at the college and seeing the 9/11 events on TV unfold. And you know, at this time my brother was already serving in the Air Force, and I knew that I needed to do something. I took 9/11 very personally. My father and his family, they grew up in New York City, and you know, and just being an American, you know, I felt like I'd do something. So I went down to the military recruiting office, and the Army was the only one there. So I enlisted into the Army. I went to basic training down in Fort Benning, Georgia, a couple months after I graduated from high school, and then I got sent off to Fort Drum, New York. And now, you know, this is late 2002. You know, so we've been in Afghanistan for a while. Iraq was starting. You know, there was talk about going into Iraq, so I knew going in that I was going to go to Iraq or Afghanistan. When I got to my unit up at Fort Drum, we were originally told that we were going to Afghanistan. And then a couple months later, the orders changed and we ended up going to Iraq. So I landed boots on the ground at Baghdad International Airport September 11th, 2003. You know, My time in Iraq, there's a lot of good life changing experiences, you know, bonds with the guys that I served with, you know, that they'll never be broken and things like that. But then there was also some very traumatic things that happened to me and my unit. I mean, we were in country less than a month, you know, when we took our first casualties. A couple guys out of my company were killed, and a handful of guys were wounded. You know, I experienced multiple IED explosions, you know, directly on my vehicle, RPGs skipping over the hood of the vehicle I'm driving, you know, just, you know, things that a lot of that a lot of the combat soldiers experience. But the one event that really, I guess, changed my life was July 19th of 2004. It was right around lunchtime, and there was a mortar attack onto our camp, onto our FOB, and we were already staged to go on a mission later in the afternoon. So a lot of our gear, a lot of our protective gear, our helmets and our vests were on the vehicles staged to go. So when these mortars started coming in, this mortar attack was a little different because we've experienced now a couple dozen attacks, you know, within the 10 months that we've been there, and this one just had a little different ring to it. I guess the whistle on the mortars, I guess, sounded closer. But anyway, so I ended up leaving our living quarters. We lived in you know, some old style Vietnam looking tents. You know, nothing too protective. I mean, they had a wall of sandbags, maybe 4 foot high around them. So I left the tent along with one of my team members, Adam, and then another one of my team members, Charles, who was not going on the mission, so he already had his protective gear on. He followed us as well. As we're running up to the vehicles, more mortars started coming in, and there just happened to be a cement bunker right there. So we all got inside the bunker. It was Adam on one end, I was in the middle, and then Charles was in the opening. And you know, the whole time we're in this bunker, you know, it was probably seriously 10 seconds, but it felt like a lifetime. One of the mortars impacted right at the opening of the bunker. And right before this, I remember Charles telling me to hold on to him. And he saved my life that day. He shielded me from a blast. I remember, you know, kind of getting knocked around the bunker a little bit. And once, you know, we came to, Adam and I, you know, we checked each other over real quick because we're both covered in blood. We were fine, but we saw Charles laying face down outside the bunker. And, you know, so we left the bunker to pull him back in. And during this whole time, the mortars are continuing to impact on the camp. And I remember looking up, seeing the tent that I just left take a direct hit, starts on fire. The rest of my platoon are in these tents now. And now not only are we worried about the incoming mortars and rockets, but now the tents are on fire, which has all of our ammunition, our grenades, our, you know, our AT-4s, our shoulder-fired rockets. And, you know, so now you have all these secondary explosions going off. In the meantime, my team leader was in that tent that took the direct hit. He was killed instantly. And then the other team leader on my squad, he was severely wounded. One of my best friends, James, he was severely wounded. My squad leader, Sergeant Adams, he was severely wounded. And all this time, here I am running around with absolutely no protective gear on, and I don't get a scratch. I didn't get a burn from pulling guys out of these tents. I don't take one bit of shrapnel from the explosions. Nothing. So, you know, once we got all the wounded guys medevaced out and set up a new rally point, you know, and kind of relocated our camp to an abandoned building, pretty much. I finally asked to speak to a chaplain a couple days later because I just was not sleeping. I was afraid to go to sleep, pretty much. You know, a couple days later, I'm in the up at the aid station on the other part of the camp, and as I'm walking back to my company, another mortar attack happens. Again, I'm never touched. I seriously ran right through the dust and the clouds and the explosions. A couple of the guys that saw it said that it really reminded them of like an old war movie, you know, where you got that guy that just comes busting through the smoke and, you know, he's just hard charging. And well, that day there were three Marines that were wounded and one killed. And, you know, I ran over to the medevac and helped get them medevaced out. And, you know, so you know, that's a little shortened version of the events on the 19th of July, 2004. But then when I returned home September 11th, 2004, about a month later, I get married, and my newlywed wife, who we've known each other since high school, you know, she starts seeing all these changes in me, changes in, you know, behavior. You know, I was angry, I was numb, I was depressed, I didn't want to be around anybody, didn't want to go to crowds, and, you know, so... A couple months later, I'm diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, and then the Army decided that they want to medically discharge me out of the Army because, you know, I was found unfit for duty. You know, and now being a 20-year-old soldier, you know, that planned on doing 20 years in the military, then retiring and live the rest of my life. That took a big toll on me. So
I'm sure.
When I got discharged, I'll be the first one to tell you, I was a train wreck. My mom told me that she was more worried about me when I came home than when I was in Iraq. I had a little bit of a substance abuse problem. You know, we would start fights. I was just seriously I was a train wreck. But then, you know, the Wounded Warrior Project found me when I was doing some inpatient treatment for PTSD. They found me in 2006. And I guess that, you know, I've had the opportunity to do a lot of amazing things, you know, with the Wounded Warrior Project. And I always credit, you know, Charles for saving my life that day in Iraq. But the Wounded Warrior Project is a big reason why I'm here today. You know, just with their programs and you know, getting around those other veterans that either have experiences, you know, like the survivor guilt experiences like me, or even, you know, the guys with the physical wounds, the amputations and burns, you know, because more than likely they're also struggling with PTSD. You know, PTSD and traumatic brain injury kind of became the two signature wounds of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, with over 300,000 warriors being diagnosed with each, you know. So it's that's a little bit about my story and how I got involved with Wounded Warrior Project.
Andrew, that's an amazing story. I mean, it's hard. All of us here in the studio are a little bit choked up, to be candid about it. That's, you know, to be able to have walked out of those situations, you know, like you said, you didn't walk out with a burn or a scratch, but I guess that doesn't mean that you weren't wounded all the same. And
yep.
Just some wounds are easier to see than others. And
yep.
And it's great.
It's
great that Wounded Warriors was able to help you out and they found you the way that they did. That's I'm sure it was life changing.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Hmm. Okay. Joe, I'd like to have you, if you would, at this time, if you could also share your story of what happened with you, your involvement with the military,
okay,
and how everything went.
All right.
As well.
All right. Well, I guess, you know, my career dates back to when I first enlisted straight out of high school in December 1990, you know. I'd gone through my enlistment years and, you know, used my GI Bill to go to college. And, you know, right upon graduation, you know, from college. September 11th had already happened, and I graduated in 2003. And I realized, I was still one of those college graduates that didn't know what he wanted to do with his life, but, you know, I'd spent so many years prior in the military that, you know, that was the one thing I could say I was good at. So I came back in the Army, became an officer. I went to Fort Benning again as well to become an infantry officer, and I deployed in 2009 as an infantry platoon leader. I got wounded the night of September 18th, 2009, south of Baghdad, when my platoon and I were leaving out of one of the forward operating bases, we were going to head south to another base that night. And then we left right at sunset, and it wasn't more than 5 miles, outside the base. Our platoon, we come across a truck stop / market, roadside marketplace, and, diverted a huge explosion. I mean, this fireball would make any pyrotechnic, coordinator for a movie envious. It just really lit up the sky. I mean, it was one of those perfect mushrooms of just ball, orange ball. And upon getting up to the scene, which I thought, two of my front scout vehicles were initially hit, they had just rolled past when this explosion happened. There were a lot of civilian casualties and wounded. These were Iraqi civilians that weren't doing anything, but just living their lives. They're at a little roadside marketplace / truck stop, and this horrific explosion happens, my guys are radioing, that they had people on the ground. We kind of sprung into action. I called forward for my medic to come, so as we were trying to move forward, I finally dismounted my vehicle and started running up towards, the scene, and the Iraqis, signaling me that, explosion went off, and then, what struck me was one of the Iraqi police officers come up to me, and he was pointing at some of the vehicles that had people there, and we ran, himself and I, we ran and helped pull some of these folks away from, out of, burning debris and whatnot, and then there was one particular vehicle that still had someone in it, and it was totally engulfed in flames, and it's one of those decisions where, it always goes through your head, what you're going to do, PL, or, what you're going to do, platoon leader, and I couldn't turn my back, on the fact that, there was someone there, so I ran, ran through the fire, through the smoke, and tried to get to this gentleman, and, it started tugging on the guy, and I, he was kind of more pinned in the vehicle, and I took one step back, try to assess the situation, and try to move towards the rear of this semi-truck he was in, and a second large explosion went off to my back, behind me, and that was pretty much, lights out for me. Shortly thereafter, I was being prepped for a medevac, from one of the large Air Force bases there, and, I was being put on this big bus, and they were going to transport me out to a waiting Air Force, cargo plane, to turn into a big medevac flight, and I remember my platoon sergeant come running up, and he handed me, a bag, and is one of my bags, and he was armor, and he just kind of had that solemn look, like, you know, like, man, you know, I mean, like, you couldn't believe this happened to me, you know.
Right.
I make it to Germany, you know, and that's when the medical team goes to work on you, you know. It was 108 degrees around 6 p.m. in Iraq, you know, when we left our mission, and so I get to Germany, and it's fall, and I had one uniform on me, and the medical staff quickly disposed of the uniform, and you know, your mom always tells you to, you know, make sure you have clean underwear on. Well, I didn't have any on, you know, it's too hot. But now I'm reduced to a hospital gown in Germany and in a wheelchair, and, you know, and one of my Navy nurses was wheeling me through back to my room, and I just said, hey, you mind if we go outside, you know, I kind of want to see what it's like, and takes me out there, and man, it was cold, and I was like, whoa, man, I need a jacket. So I started asking my arm liaison person there that's supposed to take care of you, you know, hey, can I get a winter jacket, you know, with Army issues, the green fleece, and they're like, no, you know, for you to be able to get one, you physically have to, you know, be able to board some van or some bus, and, they, you know, they take you 45 miles away, but since you can't do that, you know, we can't get you one now, but man, that's not cool. Well, my nurse eventually tells one of the folks at the USO there in Landshut, Germany, you know, and they come up that afternoon and bring me a Wounded War Project jacket. And, you know, I look at this, and, you know, and I was like, wow, you know, I said, Army, you know, while I was in Iraq and, you know, I was a member of the team, I said, man, they, you know, they can get you helicopters, they can get you ammunition, you know, all the men you need to carry out a mission, but, you know, you get wounded, sent to Germany, they couldn't even get you a warm jacket.
Right.
You know, I was also given a Wounded War Project backpack, you know. I opened up the backpack, and lo and behold, there's a clean pair of underwear. So,
nice.
You know, my parents would be proud. I actually got, you know, clean clothes to put back on, and then I, had my first toothbrush, and that was kind of cool, because those little things that you take for granted, you know, about, you know, like, you know, having a razor, toothbrush, and toothpaste, you know, those were all inside the bag, you know, the backpack, you know, and it makes such a big difference, you know, to, you know, someone that finds themselves from the front line, medevaced over to Germany, you know, right away, and you have nothing. I mean, I left my wallet back in Iraq. You know, the only thing I had on me was my military ID, my dog tag, you know. So while in Germany, you know, I was able to ask for assistance to write a letter to the Wounded War Project, and, you know, and just thanking them for the jacket, you know. And shortly after, I was sent stateside, and I came to the active duty rehab unit, you know, at Augusta, you know, at the Charlie Norwood VA. And then I get this phone call, and right before I was going to the MRI tube, and, you know, this voice on the other side was Mr. Pruden from the Wounded War Project, and he was calling to check on me and to introduce himself and wanted to see how I was holding up. And, you know, and he asked where I was, and I told him, and he said, huh. He goes, you know, when he himself was wounded, he was, you know, he was in the same MRI tube I was about to be rolled into, you know. And that made a big world of difference to me, you know, because
sure.
You know, at this time, I hadn't heard anything from my unit still overseas. But, you know, here, this fellow infantry officer ends up calling me out of the blue, you know, while I'm kind of going through all these medical tests, you know, it just kind of felt like, okay, you know, someone's got my back, you know, and that made a huge difference, you know. So through the course of my almost 2 year medical treatment phase, you know, where I had, you know, multiple surgeries, you know, for my leg, you know, and I ended up in a moderate traumatic brain injury and a vestibular paresis, you know.
What is that?
Which subsequently, you know, found me unfit for in five different categories to continue service. I ended up getting medically retired, and the Wounded War Project, saw that during my treatment phase, I did a lot of things to try to encourage my fellow soldiers, to get back up on their feet, work hard every day, so we can get back in the fight. Because ultimately, I wanted to get back in uniform, because that was my job. I had the best job in the world, and along the way, I did some foolish things. I did like the Augusta Half Ironman, after the doctor told me I could never do that. Wow. I would be able to swim or let alone ride a bike, maybe even walk and run. I tell folks all the time, I say, my training for the half Ironman was I walked 2 miles on a treadmill just to show my doctor that I can walk.
Oh, man.
So the morning of, I end up, I just told myself, well, it's only a half Ironman, it can't be that bad. Just a lot of heart, just went out and did it, and I had a lot of support from the Wounded Warrior Project in doing so,
Sure.
But if anything, I just try to show to the other warriors that were here at the hospital being treated in the WTU that, you can get up and do a lot of great things, and carrying the label of being wounded, doesn't mean, your life's over. And that's something that, the Wounded War Project, definitely taught me, so I was very honored that upon my medical retirement from the Army that, I was asked to come on board and continue working with the soldiers that come into the same hospital and the same WTU and here in Georgia where I live. I get to meet these guys, firsthand, and then also continue to work with our Wounded War alumni in the state, and meet with them and, take them out for events, first time experiences, I get pretty choked up on some things, I recently watched an amputee battle a sailfish, this warrior was really, really big into fishing, and he caught this huge sailfish. I was so proud for him,
Sure.
So it's one of those things I always tell folks. You can't count us out. The label being the Wounded Warrior doesn't. That's it. It's just the title. But it doesn't. It shouldn't affect your abilities. So.
Well, tell me the thing that's. I mean, your story is powerful across the board, but. This whole thing about walking 2 miles on a treadmill and then all of a sudden doing a half a triathlon is that's unbelievable. Had you ever done an Ironman triathlon, anything along those lines before that?
No. I saw it on TV, it's one of those things, the military does a great job of always, I say, kind of conditioning you, being physically tough, but, also mentally tough, and that's where, I just had to reach down, and just tell myself, hey, I can do this, I remember on the route, running, during you finish by doing a half marathon, and, I was passing people that were like, just like healed over, and I was like, come on, man, if I can do this, you can too,
Sure.
And, and so here they saw me in this Wounded War Project, shirt and all that. They're like, heck, man, I said, this gentleman, he goes, man, if you can do this, I should be able to. And I said, that's right.
Yeah, you are an inspiration. I mean, if the that's amazing that you were able to accomplish that. And, it must feel rewarding to help new people when they are wounded themselves to be able to use that story to help show them that there is light at the end of the tunnel, that there is, that they can resume a normal life, but they just have to try. And you're a great inspiration for that. That's unbelievable. I mean, I've never been wounded in my life. I don't think I could do a triathlon in my best days. So.
Yes, sir. It is. You know, it is very rewarding. You know, to see some of the progress. You know, that I've seen with some of our warriors here. You know, in medical facilities, and I know Andrew the same way. You know, with some of the warriors that he works with. You know, down in Florida, you know, and, you know, but we also, you know, outreach to a lot of the warriors here in the Southeast, you know.
Sure. Andrew, maybe we could bounce back to you real quick. What was it? I understand that that Joseph was approached to be part of to actually join and be part of Wounded Warriors. Did the same situation happen to you? Did somebody call you up and say, "Hey, we think you could really help us out"?
Well, let's see. I was, like I said, when I was in the hospital back in 2006, one of my best friends that was hurt on that day in July, James, he was actually interning with Wounded Warrior Project. So
okay.
He called me, you know, started telling me about Wounded Warrior Project, and you know, I went through Wounded Warrior Project, Project Odyssey. It's our PTSD program, and then. We also have an education program. It's a year-long college prep school here in Jacksonville, and I went and graduated through that. And when I was in my about last 2 months of that education program, I don't know if there was some inside planning. I don't know, but the position I have now opened up and. You know, some of the people within the organization knew that I wanted to be an outreach coordinator for, you know, for the last 5 years. You know, so I just kind of like to think that, you know, that things happen for a reason, and that position just opened up, and, you know, I, like everybody else, went through all the interview process and, you know, end up being blessed with getting this job. So
that's great. Well, let's talk a little bit more about Wounded Warrior. Give me a little bit of history on how the Wounded Warrior Project started, if you know when it was, those kind of things.
Okay. Let's see. Back in 2003, you know, when Afghanistan was, you know, a couple of years into the war, and the Iraq campaign was just kicking off. Some of the older generation of veterans, I say older, I'm only talking, you know, Gulf War, Somalia, but they just remembered what it was like for them to be in a hospital bed, pretty much with nothing. You know, as Joe mentioned, when he was in Germany, he was in a hospital gown and maybe his dog tags. You know, and a lot of the guys, when they get back to Walter Reed or Bethesda or Brooke Army Medical Center or whatever hospital they're going to, a lot of times, you know, that's how they show up, is in their hospital gown, and they may not be able to see their family for a week or two, you know, to bring them more clothes. So this group of veterans, they decided that they were going to start bringing backpacks to the hospitals with some comfort items, the shorts and the shirts and underwear and socks and a hygiene kit. Well, that's how the Wounded Warrior Project started. It was started in Roanoke, Virginia, in a basement. You know, the founders, a lot of them went into personal debt, you know, spending their life savings and maxing out their credit cards, you know, to start Wounded Warrior Project. You know, really, it was just an idea of, hey, how can we help these guys that are in the hospital with nothing? And it was something as simple as the backpacks. You know, and now, you know, I mean, here in 2012, you know, we're still doing the backpack program, still delivering them to the hospitals. You know, we have, you know, staff over in Germany now. You know, that's helping the warriors that are transitioning through Germany, or if families are going over to Germany. You know, so that was a little history of how it started. And, you know, it now we've expanded to 16 different programs, everything from physical rehabilitation programs like a soldier ride or Project Odyssey, which is our PTSD program, our track, the education program, and benefits team, and alumni, and caregivers, and the policy side of things, and physical health and wellness. You know, so there's all these new programs are uniquely designed for this generation of warriors. There was a lot of input from staff, from board members, from warriors, caregivers, you know, the military to design these programs.
That's great. Sounds like a lot of growth in just a period of 9 years. Joe, what would you say is one of the biggest factors that led to that growth?
Well, obviously, to me, it's the public awareness, you know. My father, you know, who served in Vietnam, he obviously, he received a phone call about me being wounded, from my wife, he immediately, was very concerned. And then, so when he actually got to see me, this was last March, Wounded Warrior Project was able to have me go home for a fundraiser. I'm originally from Arizona. You know, it's the first time I've been home in 12 years, my father came along to a fundraising event that we did in Phoenix, and he was just amazed at the amount of public awareness and involvement, you know. And so, obviously, the Operation Enduring Freedom and Iraq Freedom, it's brought on, a lot of attention to, this current generation of service members, and I don't know if it's lessons learned from the Vietnam era, but, I meet a lot of the Vietnam and Korea veterans that are really at the forefront of raising awareness, for the Wounded Warrior Project and this current generation, because I think they just always, they don't want what happened to them, to happen to us,
Sure.
I think that, those guys all the time, and try to include them with so many things that we do here in Georgia, but a nation as a whole, I think, really, really supportive of our military members, whether folks were, for the war or against, it really boils down to that, hey, these young men and women, they volunteered, to go over, overseas and serve their country, and it's just that, they volunteered, no one asked them to, they weren't told to, much like Andrew's story, being in high school, he had that calling and he answered it, and what better way, than Joe Public to, realize that, hey, these guys went over, they get hurt, injured, and they come home, we need to be able to honor and empower these folks. So, that's where I see most of the support, from the public sector.
Got it. And then in terms of the business sector, have you been having some success with corporate sponsorships and partnerships that have helped further the mission?
There's been a lot of corporate sponsors that have really jumped on board. Just to name a couple, Under Armour, CSX, U-Haul. Our mission here at Wounded Warrior Project is to honor and empower wounded warriors. And all three of those companies have done it in numerous ways. Providing jobs for warriors. And when I say providing jobs, these are jobs that the warrior is gonna start out at almost $50,000 a lot of times, and a lot of the warriors have families, so not only is that affecting the warrior, but there's also two or three kids and a spouse as well, providing jobs, raising awareness, U-Haul has a couple trucks that have the logo and have our mission statement on the side of the trucks. You know, CSX has they've provided numerous jobs, you know, all around the country. And the same thing with Under Armour. You know, with Under Armour being a relatively new company in America, they're very successful. You know, especially in the sports world, which is great because a lot of the Warriors love sports. They love being active. So
sure.
Under Armour's a great fit. You know, every year that there's always there's a Wounded Warrior Under Armour football game. Normally, there's three of them. You know, South Carolina, Maryland, Texas Tech, Utah. You know, some of their Under Armour schools. What they do once a year is they take off their normal jerseys and put on a Wounded Warrior jersey with no last names on the back of the jersey. It'll say commitment or loyalty or duty or service. You know, and they'll bring Wounded Warriors to act as honorary captains, you know, which here's part of the mission of honoring the Warriors. And then and then Under Armour turns around and auctions those jerseys off, you know, to the public, and with the proceeds going back to, you know, to Wounded Warrior Project. You know, and I just named, you know, three big companies here in the States, you know, but there's a lot of things, you know, that other, you know, that smaller companies can do as well. You know, whether it's hiring warriors, you know, as I mentioned, those companies doing, or, you know, coming up with your own little fundraiser idea. You know, so there's definitely, companies out there in other organizations that can help Warriors and their families.
Well, that's great to hear. We're real big on corporate responsibility around here, and it's nice to hear that some of these companies are stepping up the way that they are. That's fantastic. You know, finding a job, that's a valuable service to be offering a veteran coming home, because, you know, you take you know, a situation where we're coming back to a fairly bad economy, and it's not that easy to find something right now. So to have a way to be able to step into something is a big help. And then, of course, I love what Under Armour is doing, too. That sounds like a fantastic program.
Yeah, another thing that Under Armour does real quick is that whole backpack program that we talked about. Under Armour takes care of that whole thing. So now these warriors are receiving Under Armour backpacks and Under Armour gear while they're in the hospital. So that's another huge thing that Under Armour does.
Wow, that is fantastic, because that's the basis of how the organization started with the backpacks. So that's they kind of are going to the core of it. When somebody is a veteran is coming from, say, Afghanistan at this point, and they are wounded, what are usually some of the biggest concerns that they have, And what are some ways that Wounded Warriors, outside the backpack program, I fully understand, but, you know, what are some of their other concerns, and how does Wounded Warriors help them with that? Joe, you want to give a shot at that?
Yeah. Well, you know, obviously, to the warrior, you know, and like myself, you know, and even Andrew, you know, the fear of the unknown, you know, you don't know what's going to happen to you, you know. And you know, the military does a lot of things great, you know, and you know, but you know, when you get pulled from the front lines and whatnot, and you're sent back to, you know, for medical, you know, reasons and whatnot, or injuries and wounds, you know, you kind of put into a system where, you know, yeah, they're there to take care of you, you know, give you medical treatment, but, you know, sometimes, you know, there's a lot of answers that, you know, that you have and no one can really answer, you know. And, you know, for me, you know, it was great, you know, connecting with the Wounded Warrior Project, because most of the staff members, you know, they've already gone down that road, you know, that road transition. You know?
Sure.
The ultimate goal, you know, the ultimate goal for, you know, a wounded service member is to heal and you know, and you know, get back to duty, you know, or return to the, you know, civilian population, you know, and as healthy as they can be, you know. But you know, there's there's a lot of unknown variables, you know, along that transition. You know, for me, it almost, you know, my medical treatment phase was, you know, over a year and a half long, you know. And one thing the Wound War Project was able to do was, you know, really educate me, you know, and other service members, you know, on what our veteran entitlements were, you know, and what resources were available, you know. And then one thing that really, really helped was, you know, on the Wounded War Project website, you know, they have a medical evaluation board program. You know, you basically can go in there and to the website, and you can, you know, you'll be able to enter, like, okay, I have, you know, this injury or this injury, this injury. And it'll kind of give you a synopsis of what your VA disability rating will be, you know.
Okay.
So, you know, it allows the warrior, you know, to be more educated. So when they, you know, when they go through a medical evaluation board, they'll know more, hey, this is, you know, this is, you know, what the VA is, you know, is saying that, you know, this injury, you know, rating should be, you know. And so when I went through the medical board, I had this information in hand, and I was able to share it with my medical board doctors, and they kind of looked at me like, whoa, okay, man, this guy did his homework, you know. And I explained to them, I said, well, you know, no, this is all information that, you know, all warriors were, you know, can get, you know, through the Wounded War Project. And so when they saw that, you know, I was taking my medical care in my own hands, you know, that right there made a real big difference. You know, I know the doctors really respected, you know, a lot of what I was doing, but they also, you know, knew that I was trying to educate myself, you know, on the medical side. And that's something I try to, you know, when I meet soldiers here in the hospitals all the time, explain to them that, hey, you know, you have to take your medical care in your own hands. You know, don't be afraid to ask for a second opinion, you know. And, you know, and I'll point out some of the resources available, you know, through the Wounded War Project, you know, which, you know, we've got a great team with, you know, with our VA benefits group. You know, most of these folks work for the VA, you know, so, you know, and it's one thing that I've learned, you know, there's a, and the VA is its own separate language, you know. So if you have someone on your side that, you know, to help you navigate through the system, you know, it really helps the warrior, you know. And
sure.
You know, and one big thing that I know the War Project, you know, helps with the service members is also helping taking care of the family member, you know, spouses, you know, or, you know, for mom and dads, you know. That's you know, for me, it was a big relief knowing that, you know, if my wife, you know, had questions, you know, there was someone for her to go to. Because, I mean, I face it, you know, so much emphasis is put on the actual wounded warrior that sometimes the family member kind of gets forgotten.
That's,
you know?
A good point. That's
and,
a good point.
And, you know, my wife, you know, sometimes, you know, she'll, you know, her, you know, she doesn't like that. He's like, oh, you know, you poor thing, your husband was wounded. And she's like, no, you know. And you know, because she, you know, she's been able to meet other wounded warrior wives, or, you know, and then you know, counselors, you know, and get some, you know, resources to help educate her, you know, on the transition that I was making, you know, because it's not easy, you know. And as Andrew pointed out, you know, I mean, you know, we both had intentions on doing, you know, a full career, you know, and when that gets taken from you, you know, your life changes drastically, you know. So.
Okay, you mentioned something about a disability rating system. Are people given a numeric number to determine the extent of their injuries?
Well, the disability rating is basically, you know, it's a, you know, you're given a rating for, you know, each injury. So, yeah, you know, so say, you know, a burn is, you know, has this, carries this much percentage, or, you know, with the VA. And then, and that is, that helps, you know, the military calculate your disability pay. You know, or in my case, you know, since I was medically retired, I receive a medical retirement pay from the military, but then also the VA also does the same compensation, you know, and that helps, you know, the warriors, you know, when they get out, you know, because obviously they went over and you know, served their country, and now, you know, they'd say, you know, the country kind of, you know, should take care of them, you know, and that's how the disability rating works, you know. Each injury, you know, you're given a certain percentage of how much that is worth. And I know that's scary, you know. I mean,
sure it is.
You know, how can you place an actual dollar sign on you know, a loss of limb or a burn or PTSD?
Or PTSD,
or
right,
brain
yeah.
injury,
yeah.
You know? But you know, that's just how, you know, the VA and the military, you know, has it set up right now, you know. So, you know, you get a... You know, say, you know, you get a 50% rating. You know, basically, you'll get 50% of your pay. You know, that, so if you're a sergeant, you would get 50% of your sergeant's pay. You know, if you get medically retired, you know, and then the VA will go through their own compensation rating and you know, and either adjust you know, your rating, you know, after you get out. So.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's great, Andrew. Maybe we could bounce back to you for a second. Tell me what kind of events are coming up with Wounded Warrior Project that people can get involved with.
Well, let's see. On the Wounded Warrior website, there's a calendar with a lot of third party events. The third party events are put on, you know, by proud supporters. You know, if there's events in the area, you know, in the area that they live in, you know, there's a point of contact, you know, on that event, you know, you can reach out to them, you know, call them, see if they need help. One of the things that we do locally here in Jacksonville is TCP packing parties. This is one of the things that one of the programs that I forgot to mention earlier, but the TCPs, these are a lot like the backpacks that are being delivered to the hospitals, but with the TCPs, these are actually going to the field hospitals.
What does TCP stand for?
It used to be obviously in Iraq, Africa, the Philippines, you know, pretty much wherever we have service members, you know, that are fighting. And
Andrew, what does TCP stand for?
It's a transitional care package.
Okay.
It inside them are the shirts, the shorts, socks, underwear, hygiene kit, a couple thank you cards.
Okay.
And we're providing all this stuff. You know, there's church groups, there's companies, there's Boy Scouts, there's warrior staffs, there's, you know, volunteers that will come and pack these. You know, again, there's more information on the website that they can check out at woundedwarriorproject.org.
Okay.
Let's see. You know, and then also, you know, if there's people out there, you know, that they want to come up with their own events, you know, we have a lot of proud supporters, you know, that, you know, they want to take warriors fishing or hunting, or, you know, that might have extra tickets to, you know, to a sporting event, or, you know, invite warriors to a tailgate party or something like that. A lot of people, you know, they may think, hey, you know, I have two extra tickets to a sporting event, but let me tell you something, getting those warriors out, that might be the first time that they've been out of their house in months. You know, so if they're able to go to this sporting event with a buddy or with their kid or spouse or whoever, that is a huge step in their recovery. So
that's
those are just a couple ways, you know, people can get involved.
Okay, great. And obviously, you know, financial is a big part of the picture too. If a person wants to help out financially, what are usually some of the best ways for them to do that?
Well, there's on the website, woundedwarriorproject.org, you can sign up to be a monthly donor, as little as you want, or, as much as you want. And I believe $19 a month, the donor will receive a Wounded Warrior blanket. There's a lot of companies, that will give proceeds, from a certain day. Or there's schools or other companies be like, hey, pay $5 and now you can wear jeans on Monday, or just little things like that. So,
that's great, Joe. Any other things to add in either of those categories of how people can help?
Oh yeah, obviously, here in Georgia, I run into folks all the time, and they'll say, I support Wounded Warriors, and then, and I'll ask them, I'm like, oh, so what do you do? I've run into, lady auxiliary groups that have done just as, bake sales. I've seen car washes. As Andrew was mentioning on our events calendar, we have 13 events in the state of Georgia coming up. I know this weekend, myself and another and a team of Wounded Warriors are going to participate in a Tough Mudder obstacle course. It's like a 10-mile-long obstacle course that's being made over in Washington, Georgia. And,
okay.
These events happen all over the country, and part of the proceeds go to, the Wounded Warrior Project, and it helps raise awareness. But, the great thing is, we got an actual team of Wounded Warriors that's going to participate in this thing, and then obviously there's, a lot of golf events that happen in Georgia. We got great courses and great weather and a huge golf, base here, limits are bound. I mean, there's no limit to, what people can do if they want to be involved and help raise awareness for the Wounded Warrior Project. I've been approached by one of the local high schools here in Augusta. Part of their high school pageant, the girls are doing, fundraising, so here I am, I have to go, meet with these high school girls and talk to them about the Wounded Warrior Project and so that's still one of the categories, for this pageant. And heck, now I get, I get an excuse to wear a tuxedo go be part of this, pageant. Like I said, Georgia's got a large military population, both active and retired, and there's events going on all over the state. And, if you go to the woundedwarriorproject.org, you can see the calendar with events, and you can pick by state, and on there you can see what's going on, and for most events, either people, they always need volunteers, or if you have an idea, you can contact the Wounded Warrior Project, and there's a link on our website, so you get involved, they can connect you with a third party events, department, and they can help help guide a person, through the process of whether they want to do a walk-a-thon or wash a dog-a-thon. there's so many opportunities, but the great thing is, heck, Andrew and I, we actively try to get Wounded Warriors to come out to these events, and it's amazing, when you get, the folks that, were either afraid to get out of their house or just thought that their wounds and injuries were keeping them from doing something, and then they get out, for the first time and get a taste of, I can get out and I can do these things. And also, it gets the guys, the warriors out of, the four walls of depression, as I call it,
Sure.
Gets them out and being active. They get to meet other warriors. And, a lot of times, and they become friends, they stay in contact, so now, the people that are putting on the event, they've met a warrior, and they stay in contact with them, and new friendships are made. So.
Sure. Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you both so very much for being on the show today. What Wounded Warrior Project is doing is just absolutely outstanding, and it's great to be able to hear this from both sides of the story, from the side of being a wounded warrior yourself and how you were helped by them, and then how now you're a part of it and you're helping other people and repaying that. And I just think that's a great pay-it-forward situation that you're doing there, and it's just it's an unbelievable cause and something that's been so important over the last 10 years, and it's just great to hear about the organization. So I would like to thank both of you so much for being on the show today. Andrew, Joe, it was great having you.
Thanks for having us.
All right. So this is Derek Van Dam signing off on another wonderful edition of Make a Difference Radio.